Our lesson today is found in Matthew chapter 24, and we'll read verses 37 to 44. Matthew chapter 24, and beginning at verse 37. Matthew 24, and verse 37 through 44. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. It's important for us to keep in mind that Jesus in this passage is talking about his coming in glory at the end of the tribulation. Now some of what he says can also be applied to his judgment that fell on Jerusalem in 70 AD. Nevertheless, these are principles that pertain not only to Israel, but also pertains to the believers of this church age concerning the coming of Christ. Several of the things that are described here certainly applies to the nation of Israel, who should have been looking for the coming of the Messiah, and they did not, and therefore the judgment that fell in 70 AD was coming suddenly on them. It also applies to the Jews at the end of this church age, the time of the Gentiles, concerning the coming of the Lord in glory and the tribulation that will precede that coming. These principles apply to that as well. And we'll also find that these same principles apply to us in this church age that are looking for the coming of the Lord for the church. So we'll look at these principles and see how they apply to us. And first of all, it says that as it was in the days of Noah, the eating and drinking and marrying, obviously in and of itself, these things were not sin. But the fact that they were simply going about their daily routines, which in Noah's time involved their every thought being wicked, and they were just going through life as if things would always continue as they were. And this is despite the faithful preaching and warnings that Noah gave them, that the judgment was coming, but they didn't listen. They just went on about their daily life. The flood took them by surprise. They were unprepared for the flood. So the judgment of the tribulation will take the world by surprise. This is the comparison that Jesus is making. Man will be going about his daily chores, and suddenly individuals will be taken in judgment as if without warning or reason. And yet God and his people have been given ample warning of the things that are coming. But the world goes on as if things will always be the same. It's important for us to understand that this picture that Jesus is drawing, that one is taken and one is left, this is not a picture of the rapture of the church. Rather, it's an illustration of the sudden and unexpected judgment of God on unsuspecting individuals during the tribulation. The current pandemic that we are experiencing is just a gracious warning of the Lord of how quickly one can be struck down and another left untouched by the hand of death. It's an opportunity for man to wake up and to watch for the coming of the Lord. Things will not always be like they are. Jesus makes a comparison to a thief, that if the homeowner knew that the thief was coming, and at what hour he was coming, he would have been prepared to take action so as not to receive damage or loss. And this is the point that Jesus is making. Jesus is telling the Jews, judgment is coming. Watch, be ready, so that you don't suffer loss or damage. These are the two principles that Jesus is stressing in this passage concerning his coming. Watchfulness and readiness. These two words have always described men and women of faith. These two things have always been lacking in the wicked, in the unsaved. And sadly, They're also lacking in God's people that are carnal, that live carnal lives. They're not watching. They're not ready for the coming of the Lord. You look at the men and women of faith in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you see that these two things always characterize men and women of faith. Moses looked for that prophet to come, the prophet that was greater than Moses. Moses spoke of his coming. King David looked for his seed that would sit on the throne. David called him Lord. Isaiah looked for the coming servant of Jehovah. Anna and Simeon of the New Testament, they were anticipating, looking for the coming of the Messiah, and they had the privilege to be alive when he came. Sadly, the Pharisees, they weren't ready. They weren't watching, and so they didn't recognize when Jesus came as the fulfillment of all of those prophecies. This principle of watchfulness is one that applies to us in this church age as we are looking for the coming of the Lord for the church. Jesus is coming first for the church and then in glory to deliver Israel. Things are not going to remain the same. We have been warned. And if you believe that Jesus is coming again, it will cause you to be watchful, looking for the signs and the season of his coming. It will cause you to be prepared to meet him, that you might not suffer loss of reward, but that you might enter into the fullness of his grace. You'll be ready when he comes. We as believers in this church age have been exhorted to be watchful for the coming of the Lord for us, for the church. This is such an important exhortation and one that is ignored by so many believers today that I thought it would be good for me to give a lesson on the Apostle Paul's exhortation in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, as kind of a companion study to this passage in Matthew 24. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul gives some short and yet important exhortations to the believer. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." Saints, all the signs are pointing to the fulfillment of the many promises of the literal return of Jesus Christ, first for the church, and then in glory to deliver the nation of Israel. There is the sign of the turmoil of the nations with wars and rumors of wars that are simply setting the scene for the coming Antichrist that will bring peace to war-torn nations. There is the sign of the intensifying hatred of the nation of Israel and Jews in general throughout the world. And all of this is going to lead to the Battle of Armageddon, where the armies of the Antichrist will come to destroy Jerusalem and to wipe out the Jews from the face of the earth once and for all. And then that will bring the coming of the Lord in glory to deliver his people Israel. In the church, we see the sign of the massive apostasy that masquerades as a form of godliness, but without the power of true godliness, because they deny the fundamental truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apostasy is one of the greatest signs that we should watch for to know that the coming of the Lord is at hand. If we truly believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, that faith will manifest itself in our obedience to these urgent and timely commands of Paul to watch, to stand fast, to be strong, to be brave, and to do all things in love. So let's look at these commands briefly. The first word here, watch. It means to wake up and to stay awake. The Greek word has the thought of waking up from sleep or from being drowsy and coming to a state of full alertness. This state of alertness is, of course, speaking of a state of spiritual alertness. We must be spiritually alert and understand God's purposes and plans and be aware of Satan's plans to rob God of his glory and to bring God's people into bondage, to keep them from having God's best. This word makes us think of soldiers that are sent out to do a mission and to accomplish certain objectives for the good of the whole military operation. Their whole focus is on carrying out the orders of their superiors. This should be our desire, to do the will of God. Soldiers must stay alert to observe the movements of the enemy in order that they and their fellow soldiers not fall captive to the enemy. And then the mission would suffer because of their failure to accomplish their objectives. They need to be watchful to know what the enemy is doing. We are in this life as Christians with a mission. Jesus has sent us into the world just as his Father sent him into the world. We are here to allow the Holy Spirit to prepare us to rule and reign with Christ by transforming us to be like Jesus. And we are here as Christ ambassadors to tell others about Jesus Christ. This is our mission. Paul in Acts 20 and verse 24, he states the mission this way. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Paul summarized his and our mission as finishing our course with joy and the ministry to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. The race has to do with knowing Christ for ourselves by walking in fellowship with him in the course of life that he has laid out for us. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our race course. It's about dedicating ourselves to the things that will cause us to know Christ better and that will transform us into the very image of Jesus Christ. That's our race course. It's personal. The ministry has to do with submitting to him as his instrument to minister to others. It is to be a faithful steward of the doctrines entrusted to the church and being obedient to God's loving commands of grace, whether anybody else does or not, we are to be faithful. And that should be our focus in life. Nothing else is of any real significance apart from how it coincides with God's eternal work in us and through us. This is what we are to focus on. It is to be our priority in life. We have a very real enemy that wants to ensnare us and keep us from honoring God and being successful in that mission that we've been given. In 1 Peter 5:8, we're told about that enemy that wants to keep us from being successful in our mission. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Therefore, it is imperative that we be watchful and alert, knowing that enemy is out there, knowing that he wants to stop us." Many of God's people are not spiritually alert. There are many reasons why God's people fail to be alert. One reason why many are not faithful, why they are not faithfully watching, is because they're being distracted by other things rather than being focused on the mission they've been sent to accomplish. In 2 Timothy 2 and verses 3 and 4, Paul warned about this danger of being entangled in the affairs of life. To be a good soldier, we have to endure hardship, and we can't be engaged in that warfare and be successful if we are entangled with the affairs of this life. In other words, other goals and activities and missions take priority over those that we have received from the captain of our salvation. We get entangled in those things. Many things in life, they're not sin in and of themselves. They're just part of living life. We have family, career, community responsibilities. And those things can entangle us if we allow them. Now, it is possible, and it is what should characterize our life. We can be faithful in those other responsibilities of life, family, career, community, and still be faithful to our spiritual mission as long as everything else we do in life is subordinate to doing the will of God, to pleasing him. We become distracted by the things of life when they become the mission in life in and of themselves. We are distracted when the family and the career and the community take our minds off the eternal work of God in us and through us and cause us to focus only on the present rather than on the mission of running our race, knowing the Lord, pleasing him, serving him, and then giving others opportunity to know him as well. We are distracted when our situation and circumstances dictate how we feel and act instead of the will of God dictating how we feel and act. We are distracted and entangled when we become so occupied with the things of life that we simply do not have the time, energy, or desire to worship God or to seek his direction, or to take time to minister to others. Let's stay alert, saints. Let's don't be entangled with the affairs of life. Others fail to be alert because their spiritual senses have been dulled by the drunkenness of carnality. In 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11, the Apostle Paul warns of that kind of drunkenness. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. There's that comparison again. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Saints, we cannot be spiritually alert if we are drunk with the pleasures of sin. And this is why so many Christians are not watching for the coming of the Lord. They won't be ready when he comes. Romans 13:11-14. Romans 13:11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Paul's exhortation to us as believers is watch, stay focused, be alert. Jesus is coming. We are children of light. We've been given understanding of these things, of the plan and the purpose of God. We've been given warnings about how there is an enemy that wants to keep us from that. We need to recognize his devices, how he works and why he works, and then take the proper steps to avoid falling into his snares. Let's take advantage of the privilege that we have been given to walk in the light of God's word that reveals the right way that leads to God's best for time and for eternity. Let's stay watchful to stay on that path. Let's put on the armor of light that we might be protected from the attacks of the enemy that would keep us from being all that God would have us to be for his glory, that we might be ready when Jesus comes. These other exhortations that Paul gave in 1 Corinthians, we'll just have to briefly look at them. I'll give you the references here. But besides the command to watch, we are also told to stand fast. That is, don't move from your position or your course. In the light of the coming of Christ and the ultimate victory over all the enemies of Christ, don't let anything or anyone move you from your faithfulness to identify yourself with Christ and his ways. In 2 Corinthians 2:15-17, we're told to stand fast in sound doctrine. Stand fast and hold the traditions, the teaching that was passed down to us from Jesus to Paul and on down to us. The world would like to sweep us off our feet and carry us away with its swift current of sin and rebellion against God that says that his word is no longer relevant to our day and that it's detrimental to society. They want to knock us off of our stand that the Word of God, the Bible, is truly God's Word. There's a saying that many of you know, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for everything. And saints, there's only one thing that's worth standing for, and that is the sound doctrine of the Word of God, because it will be standing when everything else has fallen in ruin. God's Word is eternal. Build your life upon it. Stand fast for the Word of God. We are to stand fast in our work and service for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to be faithful, saints, to be used of God however he wants to use me to point others to Jesus Christ. I need to stand fast in my service for the Lord and for others. I want my life to count for something for eternity. Therefore, I want to faithfully stand with God. I want to faithfully stand on his word. No matter who or what stands against me, I know I'm on the winning side. In Ephesians 6, 10 to 20, we are told that we can stand fast if we will simply put on the armor of God. Then Paul went on to say, be brave. The word simply means to be manly. The thought of the Greek word is to be mature and to be courageous. And if we're going to be alert and if we're going to stand fast for the Lord and his word, we will need to be courageous in the face of the enemy. The opposition to truth grows greater and greater. The world rejects Christ and therefore rejects those who stand with Christ. And so we need to be brave to face the opposition that we will face in the world. Fear keeps so many of God's people from doing the will of God. Fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of all the obstacles. But just as Jehovah told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, we need to be strong and of good courage. He'll be with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll be with us wherever we go. Be brave. And when you think about it, knowing the Lord is on our side, who do we need to be afraid of? What is it that keeps you from standing fast for sound doctrine? What is it that keeps you from living a godly life? Is it friends, family, peers, failure, the unknown? We need to fear the Lord more than we fear anything or anyone else. He's faithful. He's with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We can be brave. In Acts 20, verses 22 to 24, this is why Paul said what he said. None of these things move me. He was facing obstacles and opposition, and he knew it. The Lord revealed to him he was going to experience it. But he says, I don't count my life dear to myself. I don't fear these things because I have a mission, and my Lord's going to enable me to finish my course with joy. So no matter what trial you may be facing, face it with courage. Be brave, knowing that there's nothing that can keep you from God's best. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Then he gives the exhortation, be strong. Be brave, but be strong as well. The word in the Greek means to increase in vigor. Besides courage, it takes strength to remain alert and to stand fast, especially when there is so much opposition. How can we increase our vigor? How can we be strong? Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. Again, the armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Paul exhorted the Ephesians. Put on that armor. It'll give you the strength you need to stand. The girdle of truth. It'll put everything in your life in perspective that you might not become entangled or distracted or hindered in your battle. Put on the truth of God's word. Let it dictate how you think and how you react. The breastplate of righteousness, the instruction in righteousness in the Word of God, it will protect your heart from the corruption of sin. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace prepares us to stand fast. If God be for us, who can be against us? The shield of faith that quench the fiery darts. The truth of God's Word extinguishes the destructive power of the lies of the enemy. The helmet of salvation, knowing our security in Christ, will protect our minds and enable us to be victorious in the battle because I know I belong to God. The sword, the word of God, spoken to our heart by the Holy Spirit, it is our weapon against the lies of the enemy. And then all of that armor is to be put on with prayer. They're made effective by prayer. In Isaiah 40 and verses 28 to 31, we are able to renew our strength when we learn to wait upon the Lord in prayer, in seeking his will, in his presence. You'll find the strength to stand fast. If we are not going to grow weary in well-doing, we must learn to wait upon the Lord to renew and to increase our strength. He gives us strength through his word 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we find strength in the truth of His Word. It works in us because we know it to be God's Word. It gives us energy to do the will of God. In Psalm 27 and verse 14, once again, we are to wait upon the Lord. He will strengthen our heart through prayer. We must be willing to spend time in His presence in order to receive from Him His strength. In Psalm 18 and verse 29, King David said, "For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall." We can be strong, saints, because our strength comes from the Lord. Lastly, Paul said, "Everything you do, do in love." In 1 Corinthians 13:1-8, we see what kind of divine love that we're talking about, that love chapter that tells us what love is. This divine love is the answer to all the problems among God's people and in individual lives. Oh, that we would allow the Holy Spirit to fill us up with the love of God. First, love for God, and then love for His people. Then love for the lost. Oh, that we would die to ourselves and live for Christ. I'll close the lesson with 2 Timothy 4:1-8. Jesus warned the Jews of His day to watch. The Apostle Paul warns us in this church age to watch, to stand fast, to be strong, to be brave, and to do everything that we do in love. 2 Timothy 4:1-8. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Paul and Timothy stayed alert. They stood fast. They were brave. They were strong. And they did all that they did with love. Saints, Jesus is coming soon. May we stay alert. May we be watching. May we be ready when Jesus comes.